Psalm number 12 this morning. I'll try to get myself together here. I'll tell you, them herbs has got me feeling so good. I don't know what's going on. I told some of them the other night, either they're curing me or making me feel better. And I'd hate to think that I'm dying feeling as good as I am. Amen. May be the case. All right. Psalm number 12, the Bible said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from them that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words, a silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." Now may the Lord add the blessing now to the reading of His Word this morning. Our Father, we thank You this morning now for the privilege to be in Sunday school. I thank You, Lord, for Thy Word, that truly Thy Word is pure. It's like silver that's been tried in a furnace of earth, and I'm glad that it's been perfected seven times. Help us now as we look at Your Word. May the Spirit of God reveal great and wonderful truths for our souls to lean upon and for our hearts to be blessed by through this Scripture today. Give us the real interpretation and understanding. Help us to make the right applications. Bless every soul, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me call this morning, fellas, to the title of our psalm. We've been trying to mention the titles to give us some indication, really, of the psalm setting and where it is pictured in the life of David. And so he says to the chief musician upon Shimeoneth, "A psalm of David." Now, this psalm has the identical title that we looked at in Psalm number 6. You remember when we studied that psalm? It has the same title, except the word Neganoth has been omitted here, where in Psalm 6, of course, they use that word Neganoth. Now, I'm not going to try to comment on that title, only to say that the word Shimeoneth here gives reference to the psalm being sang on the eighth octave. Now, I'm not really a numbers man, but there are preachers that do a lot of teaching on numbers in the Bible, and they do carry a lot of weight. They'll give you some good interpretations of the Bible. But being sang on the eighth octave, or the number eight, there are commentators, there are real men of God that believe that this psalm really is a true picture of that 8,000th year, or that new beginning that God's people will have when we enter into eternity. The 7,000th year, which is the 1,000-year reign of Christ upon the earth, having run its course, and then the 8,000th, or the new beginning, taking place. Now, somebody immediately is going to say, "Brother Hall, I thought that during the 1,000-year reign that men would farewell, the lion and lamb would lay down together, and everything would be running smoothly during that 7,000th year, or the millennial reign of Christ. And if that's the case, then why do you say that this psalm, which, by the way, paints a picture of ungodliness, gentlemen, in the last days?" And some would say, "I thought surely those last days, that at least that last 1,000th year, would be a time of real blessing in the land." May I remind you, gentlemen, that Jesus will rule at that time with a rod of iron. And during the millennial reign will be great rebellion in the hearts of people. And Jesus, through His rule and reign, will keep, and His power, will keep that rebellion in check. Now, when that thousand-year reign's over, the devil's going to be loosed out of his, out of prison for a season. And I'll tell you, he'll go up on the breadth of the earth and compass the camp of the saints round about. And you mark it down, friend, they're going, men are going to follow Satan. By the way, that is a result of sin. You know why men are, after a thousand years of tranquility, peace, harmony, love, and grace in the very presence of God, when Satan is released, men will automatically follow after the devil. You know why? That sin that's located right there in their heart. All right? Now let's look at the psalm. I want you to understand that David here, without a doubt, is here giving us just a real live picture of the character, the attitude, the hearts, and the lives of men on this earth right before we enter into eternity. By the way, somebody said, I thought it was going to get better and better and we'd usher in a utopia. I believe that's what Robert Jaffe believed. I let Brother Stevie here borrow a book on Let My People Go by A.W. Tozier, written about Robert Jaffe, a missionary in the South China Seas in the land of China back in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, or late 30s, really, along in there. And he had the idea, and some of the older men used to have this idea before the world turned and in their generation and sin became so prevalent like it is now. Many men believe that the world would continue to get better and better and usher in a utopia, and Christ, seeing things were so good, would just come back and sit down on the throne. But gentlemen, that is not going to be the case. And by the way, that was preached in Southern Baptist churches for years, all the way up to the 1950s and 60s that we're living in, all right? But I want us to notice now, if you would with me, notice first of all how the psalm begins. David says the first to two words of this psalm, help, Lord. Just help, Lord. That is a short, simple, sweet, and very suggestive prayer from the lips of David. David views, and no doubt now, the real interpretation here is the nation of Israel at this particular time in David's life. David looked at Israel through the mind of God and saw that the godly man ceases, the unfaithful fail from among the children of men, and immediately David's heart cried, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, the unfaithful fail among the children of men. Now, gentlemen, I want to say to you this morning, that should immediately sound an alarm in your heart and in my heart. Because I really believe that we're living in America where David lived in this psalm. When David saw the sinfulness of man and their rebellion to God, it sounded an alarm in his heart and immediately drove him to his knees. I'm going to tell you, it was for a loss for words. All he could say was just help, Lord. When he saw the decay of the moral character of his people, David immediately fell out before God in short prayer and cried, help, Lord. Now, that's short, sweet, but it is suggestive because God is the only one that had the power and the ability to help. And gentlemen, I'll say this to you this morning. When you and I, if we could ever just really get a hold of the decay and the depravity that's going on in America today, it would grip our hearts as it did David's, and we could cry as this man, who was a man after God's own heart, cried just simply, Lord, help. I believe we'd find the same results that David found in Psalm 5 when the Lord said there, for the oppression of the poor and of the sighing of the needy, God said, I will now arise. I'm telling you, God will do that. Amen. And God did do that, and God would do that again in our life. Our problem is, gentlemen, sin is no longer exceedingly sinful. It has prevailed in our land so long, and by the way, it's ran a real course in the church house for such an extended period of time that it does not bother us anymore. We find it hard to blush in our society today. Why, I'm telling you, people can go naked, they can live ungodly lifestyles, and I've seen them just about do everything but have sex right out in the parking lots of shopping malls and things, and it does not bother America. It don't even bother church members. Son, I'll tell you, the decay that we're seeing in our churches today all over America ought to sound an alarm in our hearts, gentlemen. It really should. That's right. That's right. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, in the psalm, the falling away. David said there, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." The falling away. Godly men fail to exist. Where are those men that are godly? Where are those men that are filled with the Spirit of God? Where are those men that have separated themselves unto God, or rather separated themselves from the world, Benny, and sanctified themselves unto God, and refuse, my friend, to be partaker of the evil deeds with the worldlings in our society today? Where is that man? Let's bring her on down. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Where are the godly in the houses of God today that have a real godly character? I know about that walk with God, that have the Spirit of God upon them. Men like old Charles Finney. Phyllis, I've read accounts of Charles Finney, and in the days of his revival, there's accounts that says that Finney would go into factories to witness to factory workers, and that men and women in those factories would literally fall out on the floor under Holy Ghost conviction simply by the presence of old Charles Finney. I wonder where that kind of godliness is in our land today. Why, sinners can look in a man of God's face and just cuss and rant and rave. It doesn't bother them. Our presence don't bother them anymore. Oh, the falling away. And by the way, did not Paul said that the man of God would not be revealed except there be a falling away first? Till the man of perdition should be revealed? The only thing that's holding this mess together now, fellas, is the Holy Ghost. And when he be taken out of the way, he that now lets, I'm telling you, when he be taken out of the way, all chaos will break loose in our land. There will be no restraint. If we think things is bad now, wait till God's gone, Miss May. There'll be no restraints on sin. There'll be nothing to hold back the forces of evil, and friends, they will have a heyday in our land. And we're living in that falling away now. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, where are we falling away?" And I'm going to try to be short this morning. May I say that we're falling away in our morality. In our morality. Now, somebody said, "Preacher, what is morality?" I just simply defined it. I want you to get this. I got a dictionary out, an old one, and defined what morality is. And listen what Webster says. He says, "Morality is that relating to the practice, manners, or conduct of men as social beings in relation to each other." I'm not done now. I'll go on in a minute. Our social behavior, gentlemen, is seen in morality. Where is our social behavior in America today? Son, it is dog eat dog. Our society today is whoever can cut whose throat first is the winner. Who would ever agree? And I'm satisfied that the little, as the newspapers put it, coup in Washington to overthrow Newt Gingrich from his place of power recently, I'm sure that no ways near all of that has ever been brought out by the newspapers. Oh, no, sir. Social behavior. Look at our president in the country who has lowered himself to the very pits, to the very to the very epitome, friend, of what's the word I'm looking for? Of morality. In teaming up with communist China to get money to our country, selling out our country's strategic air plans to a communist nation who will take them and use them against us for the purpose of destroying our nation. And look here, I've got news for you. Bill Clinton did not do that for the purpose of helping America. You know who he done that for the purpose of helping Bill Clinton. That money you didn't see a dime of their money. I didn't see a dime of their money. It was used to get him back into office, to keep him in power, and to keep his billfold padded, amen, and keep him in a prestigious position. Hey, that is misconduct. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's treason, bless God, is exactly what it is. But look here. I can expect the worldlings to be that way, to cut somebody's throat for their own benefit. But gentlemen, we're living in an hour when preachers and laymen and Sunday school teachers and church members are cutting one another's throat to benefit themselves regardless of the outcome and regardless of the consequences to those around them. In other words, what I'm saying is there is no forethought in our churches today about the other man. There's a falling away in morality. My God, we live in a dog-eat-dog world. And the bottom line is scratch. Money. When I was a boy growing up, we called it scratch. Are you hearing me? The love of money, gentlemen, is still the root of all evil. And that, hey, say what you want to. That's the bottom line in it. Somebody said, well, at McDonald's, we do it all for you. No, they don't. I'm going to tell you what, at McDonald's, we do it all for money. That's right. That's the bottom line, gentlemen. Cut your throat, these men that would steal the eyes off, nickels off a dead man's eyes. I'm telling it right. Whatever I can get, don't matter how it hurts you, what kind of detriment it does to your family, buddy, it's what I can get out of you is what I want. That's right. And let's read on with this now. It's with reference, let me just read it all over, relating to the practice, manners, or conduct of men as social beings in relation to each other, and with reference to right or wrong. The word moral is applicable to actions that are good or evil, virtuous or vicious, and has reference to the law of God on the standard by which their character is to be determined. And gentlemen, when our morality is gone, there is no character left, and there's nothing left for God to measure with. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? That God uses morality as a means to measure the character of men and women. Now look here, you can have morality and not be saved, but you can't be saved and not have morality. Hey, men, there was a time in our land when a lost man had more character about it than church members have got today. More character than what a lot of preachers has got today. God, I'm talking about the fall away. David said, "Help, Lord! A godly man ceases, the faithful fail from among the children of men." Where are the godly? Where are the moral? Jerry Falwell put out some time ago, the moral majority. There ain't never been no majority of moral people. Not in our generation. I'll say that in our generation. And in his generation either. Now, they might have been the moral majority back 100 years ago when grandpas lived. That wore bib overhauls, stayed out on the farm and raised their own hogs and their own chickens. I don't care if they did put a plug along green in their mouth. They still had more character than most of these idiots today. That's right. I'm telling you, chewing a cud of tobacco ain't got a thing to do with morality, gentlemen. That might make your breath stink. and rot your teeth and make you look mad and sickly mouth. Morality, a falling away of morality. Let's move on. A falling away in manliness. Now, somebody said, Brother Hall, what on earth do you mean manliness? Now, I don't have time to spend all day on this, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, add to your faith virtue. Brethren, virtue there, if you look it up in your Strong's, is manliness. And it does not mean to be muscle-bound. To be manly is not muscle-bound. No, sir, you don't have to be a weightlifter to be manly. You don't have to be an athlete to be manly. You don't have to score 40 points a ball game, run 3 touchdowns a ball game, or hit 5 home runs a day to be manly. No, sir. But that word means to have valor and courage and boldness. It does literally mean a one or as one who is strong in lifting, not in lifting weights. But one who has the shoulders, brethren, are you hearing me? One who has the strength and the power to bear up and under the troublesome times and the load that we're called on to carry, and carry that load. I'm telling you, I've never seen so many wimps in America today that just don't have the manliness about them to shoulder the responsibility of being a daddy down at the house and to be a man down at the house of God. Let me tell you something. Let me ask you something. Can you shoulder responsibilities, or do you collapse like an infant child under the load God's called you to carry? Well, I just can't carry it no more, preacher. Yes, you can. If you're saved, you can. You can carry the load. If God has saved you, His grace will carry the load for you. That record service in town, Jones Record Service, used to run around with on the boom of that record, Jesus carries my load. And gentlemen, when He's carrying our load, it takes the weight off our legs. Woo! That's right. When Jesus is carrying our load, the weight's not on your shoulders. It's on Him. Manliness. Boldness. Courage. You know, when they got ready to cross the Jordan River, what did the Lord convey to Joshua? Be strong and courageous. Right. Son, I'm telling you know what Lot's problem was? He wasn't a man. He couldn't stand up to that bunch of faggots. Now, don't insult the queers. Oh, don't you know that you have the law. You can't preach against sodomy anymore, or you have the laws of the land down on your case. Don't preach against them. Don't insult them. I'm going to insult the egg suckers every chance I get. Huh? That's right. Men. That's exactly what's wrong with jobs, with factories and businesses. Don't insult the sodomites. You know, they've got a right to work here, and if we insult them, we'll have Uncle Sam down on our back. Y'all understand what I'm saying? We just don't have enough manliness to stand up against anything in our land today. That falling away. And then notice the last part of that verse, not only the falling away, but the failing of the faithful. David said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." The failing of the faithful. The failing of the faithful. When godliness goes, gentlemen, when godliness goes, and that's what we're talking about morality, when godliness goes, mark it down, faithfulness will always follow. Inevitably. Faithfulness will follow. When godly men cease, faithfulness will always follow. Read Luke chapter 18. He spake this parable unto them, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. There was in the city a judge who feared not God, neither he regarded man, and a widow in that city. And that widow just continued to come to that man and to petition him for her need. The Bible said that woman said, although that man didn't fear God, he wasn't afraid of that woman, but because she continually came, he said he'd arise and meet her need. He said, will not God avenge his own elect that cry to him day and night? But he said this statement, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith upon the earth? That's where we're living, gentlemen. When he comes, will he find faith? Somebody said, well, he'll find faith. If he finds faith, he'll find faithful men. Faith produces faithfulness in men. Everybody look right up here, too. The Bible didn't say in Psalm 12 that faith fails, and it did not say that men that have faith fails, but it did say that the faithful fail from among the children of men. In other words, there ain't many faithful left. Where are the faithful amongst the children of men? God help us. May God help us, gentlemen, just to dig in and be as faithful as we can. The verse does not imply that men of faith fail or that their faith fails them. But I'll tell you, that real men of faith will be in a small minority when the trumpet sounds. And we're there. Oh, hey, we might sit on the church pew, we might pay tithes, but do we move any mountains, brethren? Why does revival tarry? Why does revival tarry? Oh, I don't want to get ahead of myself this morning, but God showed me something. Hallelujah to God. I'm looking for... that's right. I am excited about what I'm going to say today. Why does revival tarry? Why does the power of God linger yonder in the heavens? Why does God Almighty not rend the heavens and come down, melting the mountains under His glorious feet that's been refined in the furnace of earth and purified until it's like fine brass? Why does the power of God stay? Brethren, why does revival tarry? Why does evangelism tarry? Now look here. Now I've said this, I heard Brother Rain say it this morning, I've said it myself. Well, when Jesus saves the last one's going to get saved, we'll just immediately, the rapture will take place. Well, if I've got to believe that I'm going in my lifetime, something better get to transpiring if that's true. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Do you think that God's going to look down the road 10 or 15 years and think, well, there's one down there that just might get in. I'll just wait until he might get in, see whether he does or not before I do anything with this mess. Y'all listening to me this morning? I'm going to tell you, there is a set time in the mind of God for the trumpet to sound, buddy. And he that is coming, like the Hebrew writer said, he will not tarry. He's coming. Ready or not, he's a-coming, brethren. There ain't no such thing as when the last one gets saved, he's a-coming. He's got a day, an hour, and a minute, and when that minute rolls around to the very minute second, Jesus Christ, God Almighty in the flesh, is a-coming again. Amen. Well, that's right. Where are the faithful in the meantime? Huh? Help, Lord, the godly man ceaseth. The faithful fail from among the children of men. Where are the faithful men of God? Preachers today bounce around from pillar to post, here and up and down. Take the church about every 18 months to two years to try. That's right, and just bounce and bounce and bounce. Can't fight. They don't have any manliness, so they can't fight any battles. Amen. And they're not faithful in anything, so they just bounce from here to yonder and about. Never get anything established. They say, somebody said, well, they are looking for the big church. I'm going to tell you what Brother Hall's looking for. Now, don't nobody throw rocks at me. I'm looking for perfection in the lives of the people of God. If I can take you and mature you and perfect you, that's what I'm looking for. And I believe that is the ministry of the last day. Read Ephesians 5. He is purifying the church. That's right. That you may be without spot and without wrinkle. And the greatest part of my ministry today is preaching in such a way that it will purify and perfect the people of God for the return of the Lord Jesus. prepare them for His return. Amen. That's right. Somebody said, where are the faithful? Where are we failing today? Where's the faithful failing? Men, I'd like to say that we're failing in our march. Our march. Now, let me illustrate that just a little bit to you. How many of you fellows in here been in armor? How many of you fellows in here went through basic training at Fort Knox? Well, you had to go through basic training somewhere. Well, we had one that was over there. That'll be suitable, even being a drill sergeant over there, for what I'm getting ready to say. Were you ever acquainted with Misery and Agony Hills? Gentlemen, you know what Misery and Agony Hills are? Final test. Full combat. Full combat gear. Put it on, gentlemen. Not no little lightweight baby rifle like the M16 either, gentlemen, when I went through. Put that M14 on your shoulder, son. Something that's got a little bit of weight to it. When you take it off after about 8 hours, that you feel like your shoulder is simply not even there. It's just gone. Where is my right shoulder? I can feel it with this hand, but I don't feel it attached. Huh? And it's up. I'm talking about steep temperature and start marching. What I'm talking about, gentlemen, is perseverance. We're failing. The faithful are failing in their march. I'm telling you, every time we'd march it happened, but I never seen anything like it on the day that we went up Agony and Misery. Get up, soldier! I can't make it any further, Sarge. I've gone as far as I can go. I've seen some of them fall out, bless God, and just lay there and shake. Medic! Medic! Heat stroke! Heat stroke! Heat stroke! I've seen them pass out from exhaustion, heat stroke, lack of water, and you better not, bless your heart, while you're marching, reach for a drink of water! What's the matter, fellas? What's it getting so quiet for? See? Hey, we want to come to the church house and always get a drink of water. Why don't we march a while? If we had marched a while, it would create enough thirst down in our soul that God Almighty could bring us to the house of God and give us a good drink of water every now and then. We're failing in our march, falling by the wayside, giving up on God, laying down the armor. Devil's a puppet. And we're a piling out. That's right. Son, I only seen one man ever fall out that fell out legitimately, I've only seen one fall out that fell out for anything other than pure fatigue. A boy fell out one day and he finally determined he had hepatitis. Or not hepatitis, meningitis. Hepatitis. And he fell out. And he fell out and couldn't make it. He was justified. Those other men fell out. And somebody said, Brother Hall, they were probably all a bunch of little old weakly looking things about like you that didn't weigh 100. Fellas, when I went in the army, I weighed 118 pounds. But I never fell out. I remember in Vietnam, they told us one evening, right before Doc said, saddle up, boys, we're going out on a goat. I said, my God, boys, I just got this box from Mama. But Captain Fessmar said, what's in your box, soldier? I said, Captain Fessmar, candies and cookies. And Mama, I said, I ain't heard Mama since I've been over here. And I said, and the box is about this big. He said, we're marching, son, we're marching. Throw the candy in the hole, set it on fire with the rest of the trash. We marching. I said, I ain't a setting my candy, bless God, in that hole, throwing that hole burning. I wouldn't care if there's ants and maggots in it. I'm going to eat one of Mama's oatmeal cookies, baby. It's the last thing I do. He said, you'll never. He said, we're going on a goat. That's an ambush. And said, you ain't going to make it with those cookies. I said, I'm taking them. I put that PRC-25 radio across my shoulder, strapped that M16 across my other shoulder, picked up that box of goodies in one hand, son, had that snare cord around it. And I picked it up and we began hopping down through them woods, son, down through that jungle, really.
And that arm would get tired, and I'd carry it in that arm. I said, Lord, I said, I'm going to have to put it down. And the lieutenant back there said, I'm telling you right now, you started a trip with that candy, and we ain't leaving it for Charlie. Said the only way that candy gets left is if you die, soldier. I said, boys, that's a blessing. Just about the time I'd set that box down, I'd think about one of them chocolate chippers of Mama's. Woo! Son, put a little bit of fire in my spiz rinker. See, that's the way it is with God. Just about every time I feel like I'm going to fail, the Holy Ghost will come by and drop me a little bite of one of them sugar cookies from Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Yes, fill up my soul with the fire of God one more time. Yes, hallelujah to God. Son, when I feel my faith wavering, I just run to Calvary and get another kiss from the lips of the Son of God. Amen. That's right. That's what you got to do now. Well, I said, what did you do with that candy? I made it into gold, and we sat down and ate every bite of it. That's right. Failing in the march, gentlemen. Help, Lord. The godly man ceaseth, and the faithful fail from among the children of men. Where are the faithful? Where are the godly? They're in that falling away, gentlemen. They're in that falling away. There was no doubt a decline in the nation of Israel when David wrote this sweet psalm. And they sang it to remind them of that. And they sang it to remind them on the eighth octave to remind them there's a better day coming. That's right. They just keep on marching. I'm going to say just keep, there's a better day coming if you keep on marching. Somebody said, Brother Hall, what if I bail out? What if I kick out? What if I sit down? What if I quit? You'll go down in history like the boys did on agony and misery. So-and-so didn't make it! And you know what your comrades will say? Didn't have any guts. No guts, boy. It's like Brother Ricky Vincent told me the other night. Said he was, some time ago, was watching a video on Vietnam. And said it showed some old boy got hit the landmine, blowed one of his legs off. And said he wasn't even acting like he was hurt. Said he was just laying there with a cigar in his mouth. And he said, hey, God, said they got me, didn't they, boy? That's guts, gentlemen. That's manliness. I'm going to tell you what manliness is. Manliness is firing every shot you got from your musket, and then like Davy Crockett, grabbing it by the barrel and swinging at the enemy until you go down on the battlefield. I want to die on the battlefield. Hallelujah to God. That's what manliness is. That's exactly what manliness is. The falling away. The failing of the faithful. Failing in our march. We're failing in our marriages. That's right. Now I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. There's not much devotion in marriages today. Men think nothing about going out and tomcatting around on their wife, going to bed with another woman. There's no devotion, and there's not much dedication to try to keep the devotion. I mean, there's not many people that are sold out, totally, sold out, dedicated to maintaining their marriage, whatever it takes. I hope you men are. I mean that. I hope that you have so resolved in your heart that whatever it takes by the grace of God, that little gal that God's given you and you slipped that finger on her finger and crawled in bed with her and she's brought your children into the world, that by the grace of God come hell or high water, sink, swim, or drown, by the grace of God, you said, I'm going to stay with her, God, and make this marriage work for the glory of God. That's right. That's right. Lord, help. For the godly man ceases, the faithful fail from among the children of men. Well, there's a falling away and the failing of faith. God being my helper next Sunday morning, we'll look at the rest of it. Father, thank you for the morning hour in Jesus' name. Amen.